Let's turn in God's Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7. We'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 40. First Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 40. And God's people, as we come to God's Word, let's give our attention to Him who speaks. And beginning in verse 1. These are God's words. "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment, for I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But it would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. A wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. And those are God's words. The Corinthian church had, you see in the first couple of verses, they had written to Paul previously with questions about marriage. And so here Paul is responding to them after those questions with answers. And through verse 9, looking at this chapter generally, the Lord gave marriage as a way to avoid fornication. And so one must marry rather than to continually be tempted to sin or continually burn with passions, right? As well as we see the duty in marriage towards each other, lest Satan tempt us. You see that in verse 5. And through verse 16, if you are married, you're called to continue with each other. Though your spouse might be an unbeliever, continue with them if it's possible. Through verse 24, he calls those who turn to Christ not to change their external state, but to continue in it in general to that which they were called even before they were saved. And through verse 35, he counsels those who are unmarried how to live as servants of the Lord without being distracted by the things of the world. But when married, he warns in some sense, he warns them, you will have greater concern for the things of the world being married, caring for your wife, pleasing your wife, and the same wives pleasing your husband and caring for him, instead of a total focus on the Lord. And through verse 38, a lot of people, and that's verses 36 to 38, a lot of people don't get that this is now talking to parents or to fathers specifically, and advice for them concerning their children, whether they are kept unmarried or given in marriage. It is parents' duty in that. And the last two verses then, he gives counsel to widows that they are free to remarry or not. God's people, that's a general overview of the chapter. And those of you who are married, the instruction here is cling to one another lest you give the devil an opportunity to destroy you. Those of you who are not married, you are called here to serve the Lord with all your heart. And all the more with what the Lord has given to you. And then parents, you are to watch over your unmarried children and protect them and guide them. Those are generally the instructions here to not only the church in Corinth, but to us today. And so let's heed them and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Father, how thankful for we are for how you made us. Vast majority of us in the Church of Jesus Christ, you've made to be married. We know that it's not good for man to be alone. We're thankful that you have given us, many of us, spouses which we can love and not be tempted to great sin. And so, Father, we pray that you would continue strengthening our marriages that are here, and those who need to be married, lest they burn in passion. Father, we ask that you would provide spouses for them even now, and you would grant that in the wisdom to their parents. Their parents might help them and aid them in guiding them according to your word, that they not be turned unto that adulterous woman or to the passions of the flesh before they are married. And Father, we do pray even for Dale, who's here with us this evening. He's been a long time without his wife in Kenya, and ask that you would provide for him those next steps of her immigration along with his child, that you would bring them here quickly. We're thankful that the process has gone to the final steps, and we ask that you would bring her presence here with him and, Lord willing, with us quickly, if that would be your will. You say, Father, that it's not good for man to be alone. And so, Father, bring her quickly for his sake and for her sake, that the devil would not be given an opportunity to destroy these people and this family. And Father, we do further ask for those who are widowed, who are talked about in this. We think of Sheila. I think also those who are without spouses. We pray that you would guide them and help them and cause them to serve you faithfully in all that they do now. Have their focus to be not upon getting married, but to serve you, and help their parents and guide them in finding a spouse. Our Father, we do praise you. We're thankful how you healed the gardeners, and they were with us last Lord's Day, but they're again not with us this Lord's Day. We pray that you would be with them, and I'm not sure why they're not here, but Father, protect them and bring them back to us again safely next Lord's Day. And Father, we don't want to focus upon the things of the world so much, but we do ask that you would grant each one of us here safety as we travel home, knowing the weather that you've brought and your good providence. And so give us safety. Father, further, we do pray for Blaise and Nadine. We already prayed for them and their marriage this morning, but we do pray that you would have them to get their flights make their flights this in a couple days here, that they would not miss them, and that they would be able to return where they need to. And Father, may you again protect them as they will be separate from each other as Blaise serves in the military. Our Father, we do pray for our presbytery. Ask for your help with our presbytery, that you would reform us, that you would sanctify us, as we elders who gather for presbytery are those elders who go back to individual congregations and then minister to your flock and your flocks. Father, we pray that you would reform the elders, that the people would be reformed as well, and you would send great revival by your Spirit into the churches and into the nation, for your glory alone. We pray again for those congregations without ministers right now in Colorado Springs and Houston and San Antonio. You'd provide ministers for them, that they would have there the consistent preaching, pastoral ministry amongst them. Further, Father, we ask that you would be with Pastor Drost and Pastor Rice, that you would heal them in their bodies and in their minds. And Father, be with me as I perhaps will have the opportunity next Lord's Day to meet with Pastor Drost. We ask that you would guide him and heal him, Father, and may our conversation be blessed. And Father, be with this congregation. We pray for Terry Dowds as he'll be here preaching your word, leading in worship next Lord's Day. We pray as he comes that you would give him the strength, the words to speak, and that he would be a blessing to this congregation. And Father, thankful for his ministry for many years that he's given to the church. We pray that you would give him many more. And then, Father, we do again pray that you would provide for this congregation. You would not only make us to be faithful givers, but you would provide the means, perhaps a better situation with renting or even finding a place for free to worship in, a place to worship you. And Father, we ask that you would give the show us mercy by even the working of the unbelieving landlord. We're thankful for the answers that he gave in this past week and the possibility of being merciful to us. We ask that you would grant him that mercy, and even the one, his financial advisor that he works with, that he would be lenient to us. And Father, guide us and provide for us. And then, Father, we ask that you would watch over us this coming week, that your name would be praised in all that we think and say and do. May everything we do glorify your name. We ask that when we sin, we would turn back to you quickly, lest we give the devil a foothold. And Father, may we often go to you in prayer. We're thankful that we have a mediator who lives to make intercession for us, who goes to you, Father, and perfects our prayers, and even now perfects our worship. And we're thankful that you respond and you answer him and his perfect prayers, yes and amen. And so thus receiving our perfect, perfected prayers and our perfected worship in him. And we give you praise for this, and how comforting and encouraging that is. We pray that you would bless us now as we continue worshiping you. In Jesus' name, amen.